This is Colors of the Wind, the story of blind artist and champion runner George Mendoza, written by J.L. Powers with paintings by George Mendoza and published by Purple House Press. George never stayed still. When I grow up, he thought, I will be a basketball player. George never got sick, but one day he looked out the window and he saw the whole world painted red. He thought, that's funny. George never fumbled the basketball, but then he started to see blue and orange and yellow squiggles floating in the air instead of the basket whenever he tried to make a shot. His head hurt all the time. Sometimes it hurt so bad he had to stay in bed all day and he couldn't play basketball. He thought, that isn't so funny. The doctor said, George, you're going blind. George didn't lose all his sight, though. Instead, he started to see flashing lights and brilliant colors, even at night when he dreamed. He tried shooting baskets, but he kept missing. Instead of a basket, he saw an enormous eye floating in the air. George and his mother moved to New Mexico, where the sun always shines. The sun helped George's headaches, but he was still clumsy. Whenever he tripped over something that everybody else could see, he yelled at himself. At a camp for the blind, George and Debbie went for a walk. Debbie had been blind from birth. She had never seen the mountains or a Ferris wheel. When the wind ruffled her hair, she asked, "What color is the wind?" George looked around at what he saw and answered, "The wind is like a rainbow. It has every color of the world." George soon forgot Debbie's question.
"Nobody else sees the way you do," a priest told him. "You should paint what you see."
George didn't listen. He thought, "I'll never be able to do what everybody else can do." That was when George started to run. Running made him so tired, he forgot about being blind. That was one of the reasons he liked to run. George discovered he could run very fast. He could run a mile faster than any other blind person. In fact, he ran so fast, he went to the Olympics twice. But no matter how far or how fast he ran, George always saw things that nobody else could see. When he looked at the world, it was like looking into a kaleidoscope. George's best friend died in a motorcycle accident. The thought that he might die scared George. He started to wonder, "Why am I even here? What's my purpose in life?" Sitting in a chapel one day, he saw something different than the usual squiggles or brilliant colors floating in the air. He saw himself, bathed in light, running. He was running into the light. George never forgot that vision. Now he had something to say to people when they asked him what it was like to be blind. He kept running, but started talking too. Sometimes he talked to crowds of people. He told them that everybody was good at something. One day, a flyer arrived in the mail advertising a contest for blind artists. George remembered the priest who told him,
"You should paint what you see."
He remembered Debbie's question from so many years ago. He asked himself, "What color is the wind?" George started to paint, just like the priest told him to do. George had recently hiked through a swarm of butterflies. He painted what he saw and named it Butterfly Eyes. It was his first painting. He won the contest. After that, he started painting every day. Sometimes George experiments. He might place a candle out in the wind or rain so he can see it flicker when the wind blows or raindrops fall. Then he paints all the eerie colors and strange things he sees in the flames. Sometimes George uses paintbrushes, but most days he finger paints, using heavy work gloves with gobs and gobs of paint. Sometimes George visits schools to talk with students. He asks them the same question every time. He asks, "What color is the wind?" Then he lets them paint. Their paintings always surprise him. Sometimes George still runs, but when he looks at all the paintings stacked in his studio, hung on the walls of his house, or even better, inside a museum, he smiles. He never thought he would be an artist when he grew up. That was Colors of the Wind, the story of blind artist and champion runner George Mendoza, written by J.L. Powers with paintings by George Mendoza. Published by Purple House Press.
Doctor Coleman arrives out of breath, examines the girl, turns to Mama to say, "Wilma's so sick, she may not walk again, but we must have hope anyway. At 12 years, she's healthy and finally walking. Once and for all, free at last of that grace. All over town you can hear people talking. Wilma has run in a race. Sweet Grace, she can't stop running. After all she's been through, can't stop. She can't stop running. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what Wilma loves to do. Coach Temple trains her to work on her stride. She runs for the Tennessee Tiger Bell team. Soon she is confident, glowing with pride, hard on the heels of a dream. It seems she can't stop running. After all she's been through, can't stop running. Golden dream come true, she can't stop running. Inside that stadium in Rome, at the Olympics, far from home, she calmly waits for the starting gun. A flash of lightning down that track, the others only see her back, and so the goal is won. Wilma loves to run. Tennessee tornado. After all she's been through, can't stop running. Golden dream come true, she can't stop running. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what Wilma loves.
From American Heroes number 3, that's Jonathan Sprout with Can't Stop Running. It tells the story of Wilma Rudolph, who lived 1940 to 1994 and who overcame severe physical challenges to become one of America's greatest athletes, much like our previous guest, George Mendoza. Today on the Children's Hour, we're learning about running. And our next guests who are with me and the kids crew are from Running Medicine. We have Peyton and Maya, Leanne and Joshua. Welcome to the Children's Hour. Can you tell us what Running Medicine is?
Yeah, so Running Medicine, it's a collaborative group. And so we get children and adults in a setting that really fosters everyone's uniqueness, and it's a shared space. And so it's more than just running. It really does take it to that next level, and it builds a sense of community.
Tell us more about what it's like when you have your running events.
So I'm Leanne, and I'm from Zuni, New Mexico. We do have Running Medicine here in our community. And yeah, honestly, we don't mind if you don't run, as long as you're walking. Any kind of physical activity is more than welcome. For our community, it's just having a lot of people together, creating bonds with one another, being there for one another, and just, you know, really getting your mind to, maybe if you had a stressful day, get your mind cleared a little bit before starting a new day. So it's just about being with people and taking care of your mind, your body, and your spirit well-being.
Zuni is indigenous lands. It's Pueblo land and it's tribal land. Can you talk a little bit about the tradition of running for Pueblo people?
Yeah, so Zuni has like a real strong connection with running. It went back to the Pueblo Revolt. So our people connected with other Pueblos to where the Pueblo Revolt was actually one of those kind of, how would I describe it? It's like a secret meeting. It was a secret call for our runners to go from whichever Pueblo you were commuting from. You will run from your Pueblo all the way up towards Santa Fe area. And there was what they would call the king. And what they did was they kind of retaliated against the missionaries that wanted to invert our culture and make us forget our traditions, forget our languages, and forget our culture, and really take on a lot of the missionary style. And so the reason why running is so important to all Pueblos is because it was more needed for relaying messages, kind of like the Navajo code talkers in war. But that was our way of being able to know when that Pueblo revolt was going to happen.
You can learn a lot more about the Pueblo Revolt of 1680 in our 6-part podcast series called A Brief History of the American Southwest for Kids. Find it at childrenshour.org/history. We're talking with some folks from Running Medicine, a program of the Native Health Initiative, which is an inclusive running organization where communities run together, all ages, all levels. Now, Peyton and Maya, do you mind telling us how old you are?
I'm 8 and I'm 9.
Your mom talked a little bit about how running helps the mind and the body. How does it help you, Maya and Peyton?
Maybe I'm having a bad day and I'm just getting rid of all the bad stuff.
As you're running, do you feel like the bad stuff going away?
Yeah.
Leanne, how do you see running medicine impacting Peyton and Maya?
Okay, so Peyton here actually has a slight disability. She has a neurological disability. And it just recently occurred, like about maybe 2 years ago. She was losing a lot of her mobility in her body. Her muscles were getting really weakened. Running Medicine actually really came in and helped us get her back on her feet, gain her strength, and really just get her happy, because when she was going through that, she was like in a really bad, I want to say depression phase, because she noticed her body changing and she couldn't really control how she was feeling anymore. So with Running Medicine, I think what really helped was with running and walking, especially walking with our eldest people. She was able to connect and listen to stories as to where Maya is. She's more of an active child. She likes to play games. So it's actually been helping to build her endurance.
I love that.
What tips do you have for people getting into long distance running so they don't get tired?
Yeah, I think, being tired while you run is all part of it. But I think the key is don't bite off too much than you can, chew. I would ease into it, and you may be chomping at the bit to really get out there and run as far as you can. But it's all about the law of averages. And so if we may only run 2 miles or 1 mile or even half a mile one day, but if you, let's say you run 2 miles one day and you're not able to then participate the other days, if you would have just ran that half mile, you would actually run more over the course of the week. And then your endurance kind of builds up as your body adapts.
Is the medicine the running itself? Is that the medicine?
Yeah, to us, that's kind of what we tell a lot of our participants, is that the running is definitely the medicine, because a lot of people, like I said, have bad days. When they go out, you definitely see them relieving a lot of their worries, problems, and stress. And then when they come back, they're feeling a lot more happier than they came to the meet. So definitely, I feel like the medicine is the running.
Anyone can run, even if you feel like you can't possibly be a person who runs. And take it from running medicine. Go slow. Take it a little bit at a time. Build up your strengths day after day and week after week. And if you're lucky, find an organization like Running Medicine that will run right alongside you. We want to thank Running Medicine's Joshua Vasquez, Leanne, and Peyton, and Maya. Thank you all so much for being with us on the Children's Hour.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
You can learn more about Running Medicine and get inspired by their philosophy and mission. And if you live in central New Mexico, you can find a group to run with today. Go to runningmedicine.org. We're going to learn about the science of why running makes you feel better. Plus, we're also going to find out how running is helping our next guest in his run for Congress. Congressman Gabe Vasquez out of New Mexico's 2nd Congressional District is coming up. But first, this is our friend Divinity Rocks and Fuch.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. Feel like everything is going my way. I feel a vibe. Come catch the wave. I feel alive. Some type of way. I'm feeling good.
I'm feeling good.
I'm feeling great.
I'm feeling great.
Feel like everything is going my way.
Going my way.
I feel a vibe.
I feel a vibe.
Come catch the wave.
Come catch the wave.
I feel alive.
I feel alive.
Some type of way.
Some type of way.
I'm feeling good.
Feeling good. Feeling great. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Feeling good. Feeling great.
Everything going my way. I'm feeling like I could do anything. Feeling so fresh and I'm feeling so clean. Feeling like I am where I need to be. I am a rainbow. My colors are glowing. I feel it. The light is on me. The light is inside and I am a spark. You are now feeling the beat in my heart. Now you're inspired. Get the dream even bigger. We light up the sky. We light up the dark. This little light of mine, I'ma let it shine. Till infinity, it's divinity. Ooh, and we spreading that positive energy. That energy. Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. Tell it by the smile up on my face. I wanna see you shining. So catch the wave. And if you hear my voice, let me hear you say.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. Feel like everything is going my way. I feel a vibe. Come catch the wave. I feel alive. Some type of way. I'm feeling good.
Feeling good. Feeling great. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Feeling good. Feeling great.
This is Divinity Rocks, and you're listening to The Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
We'll be right back.
Users at tokenibus.org donate to the Children's Hour every week without spending a dime. You can learn more at tokenibus.org. Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico is a proud supporter of the Children's Hour. Find out more at outpostspace.org. Support for the Children's Hour is provided by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support provided by the City of Albuquerque and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. Children's Hour is supported in part by New Mexico Arts, a division of the Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts.
Keep up with the Children's Hour and subscribe to our monthly newsletter at childrenshour.org.